Call the meeting to order. This is the November 14th Municipal Utilities Commission meeting. First item is Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the liberty and justice for all. Hey Mike, are we able to, with Kadar, you got video?
Okay, we do have him online though.
Yeah.
Okay. Hopefully he can hear us better than.
You did.
Great. First item, we need a acting secretary. Commissioner Muskie, volunteering for that?
I would love to.
Okay. There any additions or changes to the agenda? Presented, if not, is there a motion to accept the agenda as printed? Second?
Second.
We have minutes of our October 24th meeting, review payment, and we have the review of the payment of the bills in the amount of $2,145,154.80. Any questions on the minutes or the bill payments?
No, it's the inactive refund. What is that?
Do you want to take that, Andrew, or do you want me to? Go ahead.
So inactive refunds are customer accounts when they move out or into a different property. Their account becomes inactive and they give us a deposit when they open that account. So that's a lot of times. That'll pay their last bill and then they get the remaining balance.
Good question.
A lot of people must be moving.
Any other questions on the? Not ready. Call the roll, Beth.
I will. Commissioner Kennedy?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
Thank you.
That, we have some monthly financial reports. Andrew, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. September financials for the electric division. First, we have the residential and commercial and industrial revenues are down about $360,000 from last year. Expenses are up about $56,000, so retained earnings down about $680,000 from the prior year. When we look at water, after we factor in the 5% rate increase for this year, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $167,000 from where we'd expect them to be. Expenses are up about $81,000 and retained earnings down about $73,000 from last year. When we look at them combined, that overall retained earnings down about $754,000. And then the next page will be your graphs showing last year and this year's month to month and year to date. Our next report is cost of power. And the cost of power for September was just under 8 cents. And the last financial statement is our investment summary, sitting with about $43,800,000 month-end balance, and nothing significant to note for that month.
Any questions on the monthly financial reports?
I have one. On the water division, there's a significant increase on the G&A under the operating expenses. Do you know what that increase entails?
So compared to last year, we did do a lot of like reallocating of expenses to hit their appropriate divisions. And prior, you know, a few years ago, that was always done at year end, did some transfers. Now we're hitting those expenses right up front. You will see that.
Okay. So since we set the budget in the prior, you know, the year before that, it was set using the old allocations versus where we're actually allocating now.
It's having some effect there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
I know you said both the revenues were down. Is that anything concerning, or?
I don't think so.
No, it's not. It is and it isn't. You know, they're not down enough that it's concerning, but they're down enough that we are watching them. Because when we look at cash flow projections, and especially like on the water side, we're trying to cover the water treatment plant costs and payments there. And we set rates based on, you know, historical trends and revenues. So, yeah, it is and it isn't.
Follow-up, are we forecasting anything with all the large apartment complexes going around?
Yes, Commissioner Kennedy. Do you remember that, Andrea? I think we allowed, what, a 1.5% increase for 2 years or 3 years on the water side for increase, as well as recognizing that on electric as well in our rate studies and our forecasts. Yeah, excellent question.
Hey, Andrea, you want to move on to the energy acquisition adjustment?
Yep. So we have the 2022 EAA monthly position report here. So just a little explanation on what the energy acquisition adjustment is. Our electric or our retail electric rate schedules include a provision for an energy acquisition adjustment to adjust rates charged to customers to account for changes in the cost of purchased wholesale and generated electric power and energy. The purpose of an EAA is to allow for changes to retail rates to account for increases in power acquisition costs that are outside the control of a Wilmer staff and management. If costs increase above an expected level, retail rates can be increased to cover those costs. And the use of an EAA reduces the need for frequent adjustments in rates to account for uncontrollable power supply related expenses. So that's just a little bit of an explanation on what it is. And the cost of power is found by summating WMU's three contracts that are constant. That's GRE, WIPI, and WAPA, WMU's wind turbine production, and the MRES contract, which can vary based on the community's consumption. In June, staff presented to the commission the 2022 EAA estimated position and determined there was no need to implement an EAA. With our data through September now, we have again determined that an implementation of an EAA is not required, with our year-to-date average at 56 megawatts. And our megawatt hours and our forecast predicted below that threshold of 63 that we watch. So
any questions of EAA and what works?
To implementing the EA, that is by policy. Staff has the ability to implement, but being that we implement that so seldom, we usually inform the commission when we do. I believe the last time that we rolled out an EAA was 2015, 17 maybe. Yeah, it was the last time that we rolled out an EAA. So we very seldom do it, or very seldom need to. And, you know, as Andrea noted, when we do our rate studies, we look at power supply contracts, and we have three contracts that are fixed for the period that our rate study included, and then we got our variables. So, there's things like the polar vortex. If that would have had an impact on us like it had on some other utilities, we would have needed to implement the EA to recoup those added costs. But it had a very minimal impact on us and our power supply. So, as an example, we didn't have to. That's what it's there for.
All right, move on to the wind turbine report. Kevin.
All right, thank you. So, as you can see, for October, turbine number 3 was availability. 9.1%, while turbine 4 was 92.7%. The outage listed there for turbine 3, I want to talk a little bit more in detail about that, is a breaker failure. Each wind turbine has a breaker that's probably about as tall as this table, 4 feet wide, pretty good size equipment. And each time turbine starts and stops, that trips the breaker or causes a count or a trip on that breaker. The units are rated for usually about 8,000 to 9,000 trips, their lifespan. A few years back, we ordered replacements, and they last us up here in Wilmer about 3.5 years, 3 to 3.5 years. Kept some as spares. Over the last probably 6 months, we have been looking for replacements. Started this last spring. All the vendors that we normally purchase these breakers from no longer do that stuff anymore. Reached out to former DeWind, Olympia Renewables. They did not. We were hopeful, but then ended up not working out for us to purchase anything there. We burnt up our supply of used breakers that we had on the shelf as spares. And currently, both wind turbines have breakers in them that are well over 10,000 trips on them. So they are, I would say, day-to-day. We were able to finally get a hold of Schneider Electric, the company that originally made these breakers, sent an engineer out finally, and were able to determine that they still can make these units. We did order them last week. But they do come from Germany, and they're expected to be somewhere in the 9 to 12 week range once that order gets in queue. And I'm hoping that I'll know a little bit more this week time frame. So you may have noticed that turbine 3, which is the furthest north turbine, has been standing still a little bit more than the other one, and that's particularly why that breaker decided that it didn't want to work for a little while. You guys were able to kickstarted, I guess you could say, and get it operational again, but there's no guarantees on those. One of those breakers goes down, we are fresh out of spares. Have a wind turbine standing still for quite a while. So just kind of a warning shot across the bow there. We've talked about wind turbines over the last few years. You have not heard the few years story is that they're incredibly unique pieces of equipment. There's hundreds of components just like this that can take the turbine down, and they're, for the most part, very unique in the fact that the company no longer exists. Really challenging to find parts. Lucky so far, at some point, I run into some widget or something that, you know, it could be a $10 part, and it could be a $1,000 part. You just don't want to be front and honest about the turbines. But we did, like I say, we were able to secure two new breakers that'll get us probably out to run in the year 13 and a half right now. That'll get us up to the 16-18 range. Year lifespan on the turbines determined probably in the 2.5-3 years as we watch those breaker counts. Ordering another set, barring any other problem. So all that being said, the kilowatt hour output for the month was actually pretty decent, even with turbine three being down. 616,414 kilowatt hours. If they had both been up and healthy, it would have been a stellar month. So looking at the next page, you can see where we at. The five-year average, that 616, lands us right in the middle of that. And for the year, we are at 6,546,163. Is knocking on the door of catching 2020, which was one of our best years. So still expect to have a very good year overall. Question.
Kevin, could you remind me how, or is it our unique situation with the turbines that causes a lot of this stuff, or is it more, or is that just kind of a general turbine issue with the parts and the lack of people who work on that, or, you know, have the parts, I should say, and the industry thing, or is it more specifically to the fact that our, like, where's our, we're manufactured, where our manufacturer was, and going out of business and stuff?
We're alone, I would say, because of the manufacturer that no longer exists. We know of one other, it's actually in Minnesota, one other 8.2, the same model of turbine that we have, that's still in operation. That's it in the United States. There may be some 8.2s in South America, Argentina area, that are operational, but we... So you are one of three in the world that I can say today are still operational.
Great testament to our questions coming out. And maybe pursuing things like that. Do you have kind of a idea of when we've hit that threshold?
I would say, in layman's terms, off the top of my head, a major component that would require you to bring in a crane, for example. My opinion would be the death of the turbine. Because of the remaining years that you have left to offset that repair, for example, if you needed, for example, a gearbox that could cost $100,000, you don't make those anymore, so they have to power to fit the gearbox off and bring the thing to the ground. If you had a million or half a million dollar plus cost, $400,000, $500,000 plus air cost, you'd have to factor in, you know, how many years am I going to take to recoup this oddball wind turbine that I own? Does another problem for another 5 years? Will it pay it back? We're getting there, you know, just the age of them. And things like this, these particular units were $140,000 a piece. Confident that we can get another 3-4 years out of these units. We're also exploring what our options are with the turbines. And we'll probably bring more information to the planning. Power the units. What does that cost? What does that look like? Off, strip everything out of it, power it with a new unit, use the tube, put something up there that is readily available, either a Vestas, General Electric, or something like that, that as you drive through the countryside, you
thank you.
I'm sure, Monty, to expand on your question a little further from what Kevin stated. At staff level, we've been looking at that the last couple of years. At what point would it require a discussion at commission level? Do we or don't we make that expenditure or that repair? Right now, and we don't have the number for this year yet, maybe Andrea does, but as of last year, the turbine the turbines were costing us about 3 cents a kilowatt to operate. So when we look at expenditures, expand on Kevin's comments there, we look at how will that change our KW cost on an annual basis in relation to other resources. So once we start pushing that threshold of a break even or maybe slightly going beyond that break even, we will be in front of the commission having that discussion. Is this the end of our wind turbine as we know it today? And what is our option, as Kevin noted? Is there the possibility of, you know, repowering the tube going up? So those are kind of some of the thresholds at staff level that we continue to monitor is our price points of how long do you keep investing and what dollar amount.
Kevin, are these breakers, are they repairable? You got to replace the whole breaker. You can't place individual pieces or parts of the breaker?
Correct. Actually had one of the old units that had failed. Not in there anymore, but the guys took it apart, engineering staff and maintenance guys took it apart for that purpose. You know, if there's a $4 part in there that took down the $40,000 breaker, but everything in general is born to a certain point and the boards fail. There's no real replacement parts for them. It's a complete unit or nothing.
In the scheme of things, are you going to have a spare back on the shelf? Or?
We'll actually, we hope that the two units that are in there in each turbine will get us through until the new ones come in. They'll be our spares, emergency spares. So.
Okay.
Looked into buying Olympia Renewables in Oklahoma, had half a dozen used units. They were seeing failures in the $7,000 to $8,000 or $8,000 count range. They're a little bit, wind is a little differently in Oklahoma than in Texas than it is in Florida. For our units don't have that constant wind and make that kind of output, a little bit tamer up here, so we're able to get a lot more trips out of them. They're also operating in 110, 120 degrees. All those factors together, the used units that they had available all had over 8,000 trips on them. Most likely junk. But it wasn't worth taking that gamble. Our current units will become our backups.
Other questions on the wind turbines? Okay.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. I'd like to start out by thanking the commissioners for their timely responses when Beth pushes out the calendar request for meetings. That's phenomenal when we get requests back, responses back so timely. Just makes planning go much easier. So thank you for that. Public hearing next week, Monday, a week from today, we have our public hearing on our water rates over at the city, at City Council, as part of the charter. That's the process that we go through, so I'll be attending that, and if anybody else wants to attend, you're welcome to attend with me as well. I would anticipate it to go fairly well. We'll just give a short presentation or review the same data that we talked about here, we presented here for our public hearing, basically. And then we have two committee meetings set up, next meeting, one before our commission meeting and one right after, Labor Committee prior to, Planning Committee right after. So hopefully we can stay on track, on time with our meetings there, and we should be wrapping up hopefully by, you know, 1:15, 1:30 with our second meeting. Thank you for that. We'll be covering a lot of year-end stuff there at those two meetings. Then as we move on, future events, we got our legislative conference coming up, MMUA, and then we also have our APPA legislative conference or rally coming up in February. So if you have interest or time to go, please let Beth know and we'll get you signed up. So I would conclude unless there's additional questions.
Additional questions? Is there a motion to adjourn?